Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it right now at 844-322-2742. That number good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, everything that's written in the Word of God is written so that we can come to a point and realize that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God, and that in believing that, we can have faith in Him and receive everlasting life. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 10. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. This Bible really is God's testimony concerning His Son. And that's the message God wants to get to us, a message concerning Jesus and the forgiveness and the life and the freedom that we can experience through Him. And so it just shows the importance of this Word of God and the purpose and the role that it plays in our lives to connect us to Jesus, to connect us to His life so that we can experience that to the full. I find this passage fascinating. I know when I grew up, I memorized it as faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But when you look at the manuscripts and you look at, you know, what is really written there, it's really the Word of Christ. Yeah. He is the Word of God, and He is the one that gives us life. So, guys, this is a very important passage, and one I think we glaze over quite often and just kind of take it for granted and not really spend the time to dig in and see what it's actually saying to us.
Yeah, and I love that you've pointed out it's the Word of Christ here, and Christ is the living Word, and you think about the fact that the early church, I mean, it's said that about 70, maybe 75% of the early church was completely illiterate. They couldn't read, and I know that today we treasure our ability to read and to have what we've called quiet time or study time, but you know, they really had to have loud time. They had to enjoy that loud time as someone would read it publicly to them if they had one letter or maybe two at most in many cases. So, you know, where were they going? What were they relying on? And we have to know that the Word of Christ is a living Word. It's a person, and He dwells within us, and they always had Him every moment of the day, whether they were gathered in a group hearing something or just going through the everyday stresses and trials of life just like we do every day. There is a place, a go-to place in our hearts. You know, Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. And so we get to wake up every day and live from the heart and live from Christ, not just merely living for Christ, but living from Christ, and He is the living Word. And I think, guys, that is an essential ingredient of the gospel message that is just neglected today. If we say the Word of God, we always gravitate toward the Bible. And as awesome as it is to have the Bible and have God's Word bound up like that, I mean, the reality is that we have something that is alive. We have someone that is alive in us, and He's our counselor. He's our guide into all truth, and He never leaves us. He's always with us. So to be inspired not merely by a book, but by a person, wow, that is an altogether different way to live, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and as we started out this month, we quoted John 5:39-40, where Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You search the Scripture in hopes that you'll find eternal life, but these are the Scriptures that testify about Me, yet you refuse to come to Me to have life." And there are so many people that are tied to the book, and yeah, they're going into the book to find out what they need to do, how they're supposed to live. And with that kind of mindset, with that kind of mentality, that law-based mentality, they miss Jesus. Why? Because they make the Bible all about themselves. But the Bible really is God's Word about Jesus. And when we hear that Word about Jesus, that's when we really can experience this new life that He's called us to, a life of faith in the One who loved us and gave Himself for us.
Indeed, and that is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley joining us today. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad that you're here. And friends, we cannot overemphasize the importance of your support for Basic Gospel. If this message of grace in Jesus Christ has made a difference in your understanding of the gospel, if it has made a difference in your family and in your own life, then you know how important it is for this ministry, this Basic Gospel ministry, to be on the air and online every day. Now, Bob, you mentioned in an email earlier today that we are facing a significant shortfall of support in the month of January, and it happens practically every January, right?
Well, it does. And, you know, we have a huge December, and we're praising God for that. And, you know, that helps us catch up with, shortfalls during the year. And then January comes. And, yeah. Of course, it's just typical for every ministry, for every church. And we're just saying, hey, if you can help today. We certainly need your help. If you've been a supporter of Basic Gospel in the past and have yet to renew your support in 2019, we're asking you to do so, and we would love to hear from you by January 31st.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, if you decide
tomorrow.
To respond to us on February 1st, we'll be glad about that.
Yeah.
But let us know that you're going to be with us this year. If you're new to the ministry and you like what you hear and you would like to support and help people grow and know this grace of God that is theirs in Christ Jesus, then join us. We would love to have you as a part of the financial team as well. So come be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel to connect people to His love, to His grace, and His mercy.
Absolutely. Friends, you can click donate at basicgospel.net. In Canada, you can donate through basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also donate through the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And as you make your January gift, be sure to request your free copy of the excellent 14 CD series called It's All Yours, because literally in Christ, it is.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Pontiac, Michigan, and talk with Gary, listening to us on WMUZ. We actually don't want to go to Pontiac, Michigan. It's way too cold. But
yeah,
Gary, we're glad you're with us today. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks for your program. I'm excited because I believe the end time revival is just on the threshold, and I'm excited because there's churches when they read the scriptures, like 1 Corinthians 14 and the Book of Acts. Like in Pontiac, we have 60 Pentecostal churches and a whole bunch of Baptist churches that are becoming Pentecostal. So I'm thrilled about that. So what it is the churches and denominations that have studied the Word of God, there's many have believed they have the truth. Well, the Lord prayed that we'd be one, so we be one in understanding and one to do the will of God and one for the revival that's coming to America especially. But what it is in your church belief system, I believe it's Baptist. Is that right?
Mm.
Namely, your theology?
Well, no, Gary, I would say that we really don't adhere to a single denomination. We're just
okay.
Looking to God's Word and seeing what it says.
Well, you probably heard of the Assembly of God and the Church of
yes.
God in Christ.
Yes.
I believe that they understand the Book of Acts and 1 Corinthians 14. So if people want to study with them or study their teaching, they can find out that God wants to do a great work in our life.
Well, let me ask you, Gary, do you have a question for us today?
Oh, yeah. In 1 Corinthians 14, does it uh-huh. tell that when people speak in tongues, they're uh-huh. speaking to God, and God is working through them for his purpose?
Okay. All right. Well, when we look at 1 Corinthians 14, you know, first and foremost, I would say the entire context of this is in a church setting. This is not about an individual setting or an individual prayer language. It's about a corporate experience as a church service is being conducted. And so, Gary, what we see here is that this gift was being abused. It was being abused by the Corinthian church, the people in the church building or in the place where they were gathering would be speaking sometimes 3 and 4 and 5 and 10 people at a time, and there was chaos. And so the instruction that the Apostle Paul gives is, hey, let's do this. If we're going to do this, let's do it only if there's an interpreter, and let's have order here. And as far as what the gift of tongues is, I mean, you survey the New Testament and the Book of Acts, you find that they're speaking human languages, and they're sharing the gospel in a language to which other people were born. So, you know, we believe that the gift of tongues is evangelistic in nature, and that's why Paul says it's a sign to the unbeliever, not a sign to the believer. How is it a sign to the unbeliever? Well, if they are hearing the excellencies of God's grace in the language to which they are born, and they know the other person is not a speaker of their language naturally, well, then they have to conclude, surely God is working a miracle here. So, you know, it seems that the gift of tongues is designed for evangelism. We see that in Acts chapter 2, and then in 1 Corinthians 14, we see the Corinthians abusing this gift and creating chaos and disorder in a church service. And that's why he says, if you're going to speak, include your mind in this. Don't speak without your mind involved. And secondly, if you're going to pray, pray with your mind also, because it seems that they were praying and speaking in foreign human languages, and there was nobody there to benefit, nobody there to say amen, and the only person in the room that understood them was God. And the point is then, what benefit is there? What benefit is there to other people if only God understands? You're speaking mysteries to everybody else, you sound like a barbarian, you make no sense to them, and ultimately a visitor comes in and says, are you people mad? Are you people crazy? So that's why the Apostle Paul was really putting a stop to the abuse of the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 14.
Well, let me ask a follow-up question on this, Andrew and Richard. Is we hear a lot about praying in the Spirit, and a lot of people would connect that to praying in tongues. But what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I'm sure a lot of people are wondering that question, have that question on their minds. So when you see in the Bible it says pray in the Spirit, what in the world is that saying for us to do? How are we to pray?
Well, I mean, first I would say, guys, that when praying in the Spirit comes up, Ephesians 6, for example, I mean, there's no mention of tongues anywhere near it. I mean, you can survey Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and tongues is not the context of praying in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, I think it just means to pray being aware that the most miraculous thing in the world has happened. Lo and behold, you are in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in you. And this was never experienced this way before until Pentecost. They were waiting for power from on high. And because of the cross and the resurrection, there's a new way to live, and there's a new way to pray, and it is fully connected to God's Spirit. We pray as we are in the Spirit, and we pray as the Spirit is in us. And in fact, if we don't know what to say and we don't know how to pray, we're promised that God prays for us. His Spirit prays on our behalf. So this is not about losing your mind. It is not about babbling nonsensical syllables. It is not about tongues at all. In fact, in Ephesians 6, for example, praying in the Spirit is simply just knowing that you have boldness and confidence to talk to Daddy Father because of Jesus and all that he's accomplished for you, and because of your new location in God's Spirit every day as you pray.
Well, Gary, we certainly appreciate your call. We're going to go to Mesquite, Texas, to Rod, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Rod. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. God bless you. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Rod.
See, my question is, when Joshua took the Israelites into the Promised Land, I'm trying to understand, the only thing I can think of is that God was trying to teach his people obedience. But when he took them over, he could have given them the Promised Land. I mean, he could have driven out all the Amorites and all the otherites, and just totally given the Promised Land over to the Jewish people, the Israelites. But he sent them to war. He made the Israelites, or told them, instructed them that they would have to do war and battle and to run out the other tribes that were not of the Israelite nation. And in essence, God knew that he was I mean, I wouldn't think that the Israelites would go to war and battle without their men dying in war. So God knew that, that some of his people would die in these battles and wars. Were these all believers? I mean, did, when they died in battle, did they enter into heaven? Or, I mean, was it just a one-on-one choice with each person? You know what I'm saying? Like it is in today's world, it's every person yeah. has their own free will. But all I can think of is he was trying to teach them obedience. I'm trying to understand why he didn't. That's the only thing I can think of why he didn't just give them the promised land, you know?
Well, Rod, Richard may have a few thoughts on this as well. My first instinct is to say this. You go to Deuteronomy and you look in the fourth chapter, for example, and what you see there is basically Israel's going to have the promised land as long as they adhere to what God has to say to them in terms of decrees and commands. And here we are in the Old Testament before the cross, before the resurrection. And what you experience under all of that is a law-based system, and you experience an if-then statement from God. If you do your part, then I'll do my part. And so that's what Israel experienced on a number of fronts, not just in terms of the promised land, but other things as well. The if-then statement is basically a solid description of law-based experience in the Old Testament. So, you know, they were basically given a conditional offer from God, if you will. And so they were supposed to keep his decrees and commands and his statutes and all of those things outlined. And then, of course, we see that the Old Testament experience is God in a swivel chair for them, as I like to put it. I mean, turning away from them, they're not faithful, turning back toward them. And as far as this, you know, the second question about individuals, absolutely. I mean, if you're referring to justification before God, getting right with God, it was impossible for a nation to be right with God. It's always about individuals and hearts and lives and people who choose to believe or reject. And it, for that matter, you get to Rahab, who was a prostitute and was not even an Israelite, and she was justified by faith as a Gentile. So Old Testament believers were justified individually by their faith in God as God saw their hearts. And, you know, as far as the promised land, certainly it was a conditional thing living under the law. So I hope that helps some.
Oh, yeah, that definitely helps. It just, you know, like I said, God knew that the men, the Israelites, and he knew a lot of them would die in these battles and wars. So basically what I'm hearing and from the word yeah. of God is, mm-hmm. you know, it's every man's faith. You know, some of them probably didn't have the faith, and some of them did, and those are the ones that went to heaven.
Yes, I mean, nobody is in heaven because they fought a war. Nobody is in heaven because they fought a war for Israel. The only people that are justified in God's sight are those who have put a personal faith in him. So you might associate with Israel. Your bloodline might be Jewish. Your lineage and heritage might be Jewish. But, you know, the book of Romans does a terrific job of telling us that if you're Jewish by nature or you're Gentile by nature, hey, apart from Christ or apart from faith in God, there simply is no hope. We're born spiritually dead. We need life. That life comes to us by faith in God, and it has nothing to do with nationality. So I could fight 100 wars for a great nation and yet still not be right with God. We're right by faith alone.
Yes, indeed. Rod, thank you for your call. It's good to hear from you, Bob.
Yeah, we have a great question from Beth.
Can we pause before we go to that? Can we pause just for a moment? I want to get Richard's thought on what you were talking about just a little earlier.
Yes.
The shortfall that we're experiencing, Richard, give us your thoughts on that. And, of course, this series called It's All Yours. Give us your thoughts on this.
Well, it's just fairly typical. I mean, we have bills that continue to come, and we have seasonality in our giving, and January is typically one of those low seasonality mm-hmm. times, and we'd like to not get behind. And so if God's moving on your heart, please help us out. And this premium we have for you, the It's All Yours, a study in in Hebrews is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And I know I'm part of it, and I'm biased by it, but if you understand just a little bit of Hebrews, you understand the grace of God and how stupendous it is.
Absolutely. Well, friends, we hope you can help us out, and we'll be giving the information on how you can make your contribution before midnight tomorrow night to help us during this month of January.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our YouTube viewer who asked this question. Some people use Mark 16, 17 to 18 to say speaking in tongues is the evidence, the primary evidence of having the Holy Spirit. She says she doesn't believe this is true. But could we explain this scripture? What in the world is Mark saying there in Mark 16, 17 through 18?
Well, we've got this passage. It says, these signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They'll cast out demons. They will speak with tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's the passage in question. And what I would say is, we saw all of this. We saw all of this fulfilled in the early church, mainly by the disciples who were turned apostles. We saw many of these things evidenced. And what it's saying here is these signs will accompany or these signs will follow. It doesn't mean that every single believer needs to be casting out demons, that every single believer needs to have the gift of tongues, or that every single believer needs to run out and find a snake to handle, which many, as you know, have misinterpreted even here in the Bible Belt in the United States with so-called snake-handling churches, which end up killing people in many instances. So, Bob, this is one of those times where Jesus is prophesying in general terms about things that are going to happen in the early church as Pentecost arrives, as people are indwelt by Christ himself, as people are empowered by God to go out and share this gospel message. You are going to see healings, and you are going to see people who were once possessed by demons now knowing Jesus for the first time. You are going to see all kinds of amazing things that are brought along with the gospel. And, you know, when we turn that into a prescription, neurotically asking ourselves, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Have I done enough? Do I have enough? Do I have the right gift? Have I had the right experience? Then we start experience chasing, and we end up putting our confidence in a laundry list of spectacular feats instead of putting our confidence in the blood of Christ and in his resurrection. That is what makes us new creations in him.
Well, and two, the evidence of the Spirit living in us is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's what marks us out. And that's what's so important. Love, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. And that's how he marks us out as people who truly belong to Jesus Christ. And that's his work in and through us. And as people see that love one for another, that becomes evidence for them that this Jesus is real, that he's not just a story that's been made up, but he has a real power and influence, and he's a real person that is inside of these people called Christians. So love is the most excellent way. Love is the real evidence that we belong to Christ Jesus and that his Spirit has come to live inside of us. Bob,
without
take
question.
It away.
Indeed. Well, as Bob and Richard have shared, we are experiencing a significant downfall of support in the month of January, and we need your support, friends, to keep this message going. To make your gift, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. If you'd like to make a donation by phone, you can call 844-322-2742. And if you call after hours, you'll need to leave your contact information, and Billy will call you back when the office reopens. So again, that number is 844-322-2742. Please join with us in these last 2 days of January. And when you make your gift, be sure to request this excellent CD series we've been talking about called It's All Yours. Keep in mind, too, that that same number is always open for any question you might have. Again, that's 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742, or drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow at the same time. We'll see you then for Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.